God's house. Amen. We're in the book of Joshua. I hope you'll turn to it in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. It's the sixth book in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11 and chapter 12, if you were to read them and just read through it quickly, you'd think, well, it was something that happened in just a day or two. But that's not true. Everything I studied about those two chapters, it told me this, that this covers a six-year period in these two chapters. And so this final battle is not an easy battle. It's a long battle. It's tedious. It's tough, you know. And, you know, whenever you get into something tough and it seems to drag on and drag on, sometimes you get discouraged. But God was with Israel as they went into the land. You know, Israel going into the land is a picture of the Christian way of life. It's a picture of the church. You see, God calls his people, once he saves us, to follow him, to put our footsteps in his footsteps, and to do what he tells us. He also tells us, don't be discouraged, because sometimes you're going to have battles. You know, when I got up this morning, I got a call from Beth Kirby, her daughter, and she called me up and said, Beth's in the hospital. And, you know, and you say, well, Beth's a good Christian lady. Why is she in the hospital? You know, and they say, oh, that's just the devil attacking. Can I tell you this? That's not the devil attacking. That's God giving you an opportunity. You see, everything that comes to your life, because my Bible tells me my God is bigger than anything that comes against you.
Amen.
My God is bigger. My God is able. My God is able to do. If God was able to save me, and I am the biggest sinner in this place, I really believe that. If God was able to save me and put his Holy Spirit inside of me and cover my sins with the blood of Christ, there is nothing that God cannot do in my life. So God takes his children and he puts them in situations not where they can be defeated, but where they can be victorious if they'll follow God. And that's what God's word to you today is. He says, listen, church, listen, Christian, listen, believer in Christ. If you are a believer in Christ, keep on trusting God. Keep on loving God. Look, God calls his people to continued unity of purpose and service. As they go into the promised land, as they get into that long final battle, there's all kinds of things going on. Look at verse number 18. It says, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Now, if you read that, it sounds like Joshua's fighting by himself, don't it? Because it says Joshua made war a long time. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this. By using Joshua's name, he's saying Joshua is in one accord with God, and the people are in one accord with one another, and they are all working with one mind and with one focus to do God's work. You see, I can tell you as a retired airman that when I was in the Air Force, that we all had the same purpose. We all had the same goal. Now, we all had different jobs, just like Jimmy said this morning. We all had different jobs, but our purpose, our goal, was to satisfy the mission, to do what was necessary in order to protect our great country. And we all came together, and we all did different things. I started out in the Air Force as a cook. I eventually became electronic warfare technician. Those are two career fields that are far apart. Amen. But they were all wonderful things, and I had the opportunity to do that. But we had people that did all different things. That's what happens with God's people. But the text tells us, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Joshua did not do it by himself. All of Israel came together in one accord. Beloved, I tell you this. God tells us as his people, if you want to be victorious, you need to be in one accord. Now, y'all better amen that, or I'm going to preach till the donuts get hard. Amen. We're to be in one accord. That's the biggest problem with God's church in America. We're denominationalized. We're all broke up in little groups. And that's the greatest thing the devil ever did, was break us up in little groups and get us off of the common function. We are supposed to glorify our God. We're supposed to march in one accord. The Bible tells us over in Psalm 133, listen to this. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. It went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, for there life evermore. God says when we are in one accord, God will bless it. You see, the devil loves to put discord. He loves to put discord in a marriage. That's what he does. He'll come in and he'll get in the wife, or he'll get in the husband, he'll get something going, and they'll get in discord. Now, don't look at your husband or your wife right now if that's happening. But it does happen. Amen. And you know the best thing to do whenever that happens is to get back in one accord with God. To focus Godward again and say, God, what should I do to make this right? It doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. God, you're always right. Yeah. And we're going to follow you and we're going to love you. See, when we come together, that's what heaven's all about. Yeah, the Bible tells me when John looked into heaven, what did he see? It says over in Revelation 22, he said, there was no more curse there in heaven. And he said, what? The throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. You know what heaven's all about? It's about being in one accord, doing the same thing to glorify God, magnifying God, as Tony prayed the prayer today. That's what we're saved for. Amen.
Amen.
Look at your brother or sister on the aisle next to you right now and tell them, God loves you. Go ahead and do it. Try it one time. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but I want you to say to yourself, I'm going to love the one next to me. I'm going to love my neighbor. Now, you can say that to them if you want to. Amen? But you need to love that person. You need to lift that person up. As Joshua went into the promised land, as these 6 years went by, as this battle went on and on and on, what was the one thing that kept Joshua focused? And what's the one thing that kept God's people focused? They were focused on the promise that God gave them at the beginning of the campaign. You see, in Joshua chapter 1, God told Joshua, he said, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given that to you, as I said to Moses. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. That's what he said. If you want to write that down, it's Joshua 1, 5 through 7. He said, I'm going to be there. Now, there was something that's interesting in this promise that God made to Joshua. He told Joshua, he said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Do you know the name of Moses is mentioned 58 times in the book of Joshua? Everybody knows who Moses was. Do y'all know who Moses is? Does anybody not know who Moses is? He was a man of God. He was a man of faith. He was a man who loved the Lord. And God often called him my servant Moses. But there's a question that comes up every time you think about the promise that God made to Joshua. God, throughout the Bible, throughout the book of Joshua, God said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Joshua 1:13. Joshua 3:7. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua 4:10. According to all that Moses commanded you. Joshua 8:31. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel. Joshua 9:24. The Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses over and over and over again. You see the name Moses. But there's a question I got to ask. Why is Moses not leading Israel right now? Why isn't Moses there if he was the servant of the Lord? That's a good question, isn't it? You know why he wasn't there? It's because one day Moses got up and he didn't obey the Lord. You know, I have to continually battle this in my mind. Because sometimes in my mind, and I'm going to tell you all about the evil David. Can I tell you about the evil David right now? Is that all right? Because everybody's got an evil side. And don't look at me like you don't, because I know you do, because I've been around you long enough. Amen. Let me tell you about the evil David. The evil David sometimes gets to thinking that he's the only one that can do what he's doing. And he gets puffed up. And God brings him down. Because I want y'all to know something. What I do by the grace of God. And I am nothing, but God is everything. And when you begin to think that you're the only person that can do that, God can take you out of the picture. God told Moses one day, he said, I want you to go and speak to a rock. Now, if God tells you to speak to a rock, you better speak to a rock. You don't need to be speaking to no snake. Amen. I talked about talking snakes last week. Don't talk to a snake. If y'all need a talking snake, kill it. Amen. I don't care if it's protected by Tennessee, kill it anyway. It's not normal. Adam and Eve found that out. But God tells you to talk to a rock, you better talk to a rock. He told Moses, he said, I want you to go and talk to the rock and water will come out. And Moses got in front of the rock and that old thing pride welled up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what pride is? That old pride welled up. And that pride said, oh, these people, they're nincompoops. And he got upset and he turned around and he said, must we bring forth water out of the rock? And he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. And God told Moses, he said, because you did not honor me, you're not going to go into the promised land. Beloved, God calls us to be saved. To serve him. But don't you think God can't replace you if he needs to. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know if I'm going to be alive tomorrow. But I know where I'll be eventually.
Amen.
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 How many of y'all can amen that? You know we're going to be eventually. Eventually I'm going to be in heaven. But every day that I live is a gift from God. Every single day. And I don't earn it, and I don't deserve it, but it's an opportunity to serve the Master.
Amen.
And what a wonderful thing. It's a joy to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. But when we let the flesh take over, when we start making ourselves big and God small, then God can take us down. And that's what happened to Moses. God wants to bless you. God loves you. Have I told y'all that today? God loves you. Look at your neighbor again and tell him, God loves you. You didn't tell them a while ago. I hope they'll tell you that. Amen. God loves you. And God saved you to serve him. And God saved you, church, to do great things for him. God wants you to do great things. Within this neighborhood, and I'm not going to call any names, but there's a church not far from here that's gone through 3 pastors in 3 years because of disharmony in the body. And if we're not in one accord with God, and we're not in one accord with one another, God's not going to bless us. That's why every Sunday I try to get y'all to cross the aisle and talk to one another and love one another. And I always love that whenever you do it, because I see all the smiles on your faces. And that's where the joy is, when you're coming together serving God. See, God called you to do great things. That's what he wants you to do. Amen.
Amen.
Point number 2. The Bible tells us God's people are called to focused purpose and service to God alone. We're to focus on the enemy. Now, the enemy is not your brother or your sister. The enemy is not even the world, the person around you that doesn't know Christ. That person is not the enemy. You know what the enemy is? It's fear. Fear is the enemy. Faithlessness is the enemy. You see, as they came in, look in Joshua 11. It says, whenever Joshua then went into the land, it says, and they went out. This is talking about the enemy. They and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude. There were a bunch of enemies that went out. They went out. And as they went out into that place, they were going to attack Israel. And this is just a huge, huge thing. And look at verses 1 through 3. It says, it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor. Now, Jabin's not his name. Jabin is a title. It means like king or pharaoh. He was the Jabin, the leader of the people. He got together. And the Bible says he got all the kings in that area to swear a confederacy. To Jobab, king of Madon, and the king of Shimron, the king of Achshaph. And to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and the plains south of Chinneroth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and the west, and Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the mountains, and the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. In other words, this was a huge bunch of people. And it tells us in verse number 4, when they went out, they were like the sand that's upon the seashore, with horses and chariots, very many. Now, W.A. Criswell, I love to read his sermons. He's with the Lord now. But he is a famous pastor. Many of you know him, many of you don't. But he preached out in Texas many years ago. And what he said when he talked about this in his commentary, he said, what terrified Israel above everything else was the iron chariots. These people had iron chariots. And he said, imagine yourself with a sword in your hand, or a spear or a javelin, or a dart, or a bow, or an arrow, and there's coming towards you furiously great horses with thousands upon thousands of iron chariots. And these iron chariots, these men that are standing in these chariots, their hands are free where they can throw spears and darts and javelins, and they can kill you. And as these chariots are bearing down on you, the thing that's going to come to you is, I'm going to die. This is overwhelming. This is impossible. But beloved, didn't God promise Abraham when Abraham trusted him? You remember that time God told Abraham, he said, I want you to offer your son Isaac to me as a sacrifice. Do you remember that story? God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham did that. But before he sacrificed him, God stayed his hand. And God told him, he said, Abraham, because you cherished me more than anything, because you loved me more than anything, he said in Genesis chapter 22, he said, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. And then he says this, as the sand of the seashore. You see, the devil brought his sand of the seashore out to attack God's sand of the seashore. But I want to give y'all a hint who won. God won. Amen. God's people always win.
Amen.
God told Israel in Joshua 11:6, he said, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. God said, I'm bigger than any enemy that comes your way. What are the enemies you have? Do you have sickness? Do you have a disease? Do you have problems in your marriage? Do you have problems in your life? What are the enemies that have come against you? God is able to defeat those enemies. You know what God tells us? He says, listen, 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be focused upon Him and to trust Him and to follow Him. I heard the cutest story the other day. As one of these preachers, he was writing on the internet, and I read quite a bit, and he was writing about his little son named August. He told his little boy, he was about 3 years old, he said, August, he said, I want you to put your shoes up before you go to bed. So little August, little three-year-old August, he went and put his shoes up. Well, Daddy went to check on him to see if he'd put his shoes up. He was in the bed, and he was sleeping already. So Daddy looked in the closet to see where his shoes were. The shoes weren't in the closet. He went all through his room, but he looked under the bed. The shoes aren't in the bed. He looks from room to room trying to find his shoes. Finally, he thinks, well, maybe he put them in my closet. And he goes and he looks in his closet, and he almost misses it. But inside of his shoes, August put his shoes. He put them where he saw his daddy's shoes. That's what God calls us to do. To get up in the morning and to follow God one step at a time, one moment at a time, giving God the glory for whatever comes our way. And I don't know why things happen the way they happen, but I do know this. God is in control.
Amen.
I'll tell y'all a little story, and I'll close us out. But yesterday, I visited with a friend, and I like to visit around. I put particularly people that are struggling. I visit. And I'd love to come see you. If you want me to come see you, call me and ask me. Come see me. I'll come see you. But I was visiting with a friend and got ready to go. And he mentioned to me, he said, I've got some fresh tomatoes. Would you like some? Would I? Absolutely. You know, I can't eat sweet things, but I can eat all the tomatoes I want. I said, sure. Well, he gave me two tomatoes. And I thought, man, that's all right. He said, I can't give you any more because I need to save some for me. I said, I understand. Thank you for the tomatoes. Well, I got ready to leave. And when as I left, I got in my car and I was just like, you know, two tomatoes is not enough. Y'all know that? You better eat tomatoes now while you can. Because them things that they bring in the wintertime, they ain't tomatoes. I don't know what they are. But they ain't tomatoes. They pick them green, they bring them in, they put something on them, and they turn red, and they ain't nothing but the devil's lie. Amen. They ain't got no flavor to them. It's like eating wood. Well, anyway, I'm like, I got two tomatoes here. I'm going to do stuffed tomatoes tonight. And I'm driving down the road, and I see a sign in somebody's yard that says, tomatoes for sale. Well, y'all follow me now. I'm in the tomato craze right now. Amen. And so I go, I'm going to get me some tomatoes. So I pull into this lady's yard, and I go in the back, and I go back there, and she's got a sign up, tomatoes, but there's no tomatoes. Well, she comes around the house in her lawnmower and comes up, and I said, well, I was looking for tomatoes. And this lady out of blue said, well, come on in the house. I'll give you some tomatoes. So I went and got some tomatoes. And as we were coming out, I stood there and I told her, I said, I'm the pastor, little church not too far from here. She said, well, I've just moved into this house. And I told her, I said, I won't be presumptuous. But can I pray for you before I go? And she said, I wish you would. And she shared with me some things that were going on in her life. Some things were dragging her down. And I prayed with her. And I asked Jesus to touch her and to help her and to bring her through that. Now, I'm not saying that to puff myself up because I'm not. I'm saying that God gives you opportunities to serve. You need to serve. And when I left that place today, I was blessed. I had tomatoes, and I want y'all to know I ate them last night. Boy, were they good. Amen. But not only that, she gave me some free cucumbers too, and I like that. But there was a blessing in that. God brought me to a place of service, not to be afraid, not to fear, not to go around it, but God has placed you in such a place so that you can serve Him. As we go through this life, the Bible tells you, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, don't let it be afraid. Jesus said, don't let fear rule your life. Wherever you are today, serve the Lord. If you're on the mountaintop, serve the Lord. But praise Him while you can, because I'll tell you, you won't be on the mountaintop forever. There's going to be a valley. You know, a mountain has a valley on either side of it. Do y'all know that? But the valleys, God's in control of those too. And I'll tell you how the book of Joshua chapter 12 ends. Israel takes the land. And God did exactly what He said He would do. And God will always take care of you if you belong to God. If you've given yourself to Him, He will always take care. We serve an awesome God. Amen.
Amen.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know what struggle you're going through now. I don't know what's in your life. But I know the God who is able to take you through that. If you're a Christian, God has put the struggle before you for a reason. Approach it with confidence, looking to the promise. Christian, you've been promised that God is going to give you eternal life and that you'll never die. There's going to come a day when you're going to leave this life. Are you prepared for that day? If you're not a Christian, today is the day to call upon Jesus. There's no set prayer you have to pray. Just say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me. And believe that He did. Oh, my Lord loves you so very, very much. And He wants you walking through this life as a victor, not a victim. A victor following Him. Father, we love you so very, very much. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've put on our hearts today. We thank you, Lord God, for the example of Joshua and the children of Israel, that they were in one accord following you. And Lord God, that they stayed the course and trusting you, Lord. Joshua never lost a battle except that one at Ai. And that one battle was lost not because of Joshua, but because of sin in the camp. Lord God, I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to glorify you wherever we go. That we would cast off the works of darkness and shine for you. That we would make the most of every opportunity to serve you, to live our lives for you. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, let today be the day, Lord God, that they'll call upon you and be saved. Jesus, you told us that if we would confess with our mouth that you are Lord and believe in our hearts, Lord, that you were raised from the dead, that we would be saved. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. Thank you that it's for whosoever will. Thank you, Lord God, for what you've given us. Let us be bound together in love with one another and with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Number 450.
Some original Krispy Kreme donuts. And I say us loosely because I can't eat them, but I watch y'all as y'all eat them, all right? So come on over, have a cup of coffee, a donut. We're going to have a wonderful day. What are we studying in Sunday school, Jim?
About the Samaritan woman's faith. Samaritan woman. Is that what we're studying, Miss Ruby?
Faith worth sharing. We need to be sharing
our faith. There's lots of ways of doing that. Hope you'll come back tonight at 6. We're going to continue our series on prayer tonight. And we're going to have a special time of prayer tonight. So anyway, continue to follow the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
I'm going to ask my brother Billy Benefield if you would close us in prayer.